on this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock.
A new tech article has SEOs on the verge of their sanity.
We check out the changes coming to Microsoft Advertising's hotel campaigns.
And TikTok adds some new partner tools for good measure.
All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday.
Every Friday.
We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes.
Hot takes.
Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.
You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Christine Zernheld,
aka Shep.
I'm Jess Budd.
And I'm Greg Finn.
And it is officially Marketing O'Clock
here on January 12th, 2024.
Woohoo! Before we get into all the digital marketing news of the week, what's happening with you, Shep?
First, I feel like we both need to acknowledge some fashion here, unless you were saving yours.
Oh, no, I have a brand new shirt.
I love it.
Thank you. What is it? What shirt is this?
Shout out AdSquire, 267-777-8004.
Hey, the AdSquire boy sent this to
Give
me.
Him a call.
I know. I'm like a walking LSA.
I really love it.
Yeah, a living a shirt advertisement.
And
hey,
the...
you did there.
The elephant-sized bow in the room for me is my bow. Been a girl mom for a few years now, and I'm just jealous of the big bows, and it was my turn.
It suits you.
So take this, yeah. Okay?
You look amazing. I wore white. Sometimes I
Yeah, we're do really all right? taking chances yeah. today. So make sure you're watching on YouTube. I also wanted to say, I finally, after years and years of being married to a football enthusiast, found a way to enjoy myself watching last week's game at home with him. Almost. I got this idea from TikTok. I made a bingo board with different scenarios or things that he might say during the game, and I played bingo.
Things that he would say?
Yep.
I love that. Did you win?
Throwing his hat. It took me a surprisingly long time to win, to be honest. I thought I might get a blackout. Throwing his hat, calling for someone to be fired.
I swear to God, we suck!
Disparaging Chris Collinsworth. It was all on there.
Wow. I like Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
If you put him against Tony Romo, like, it's Collinsworth all day long. I can't listen to Tony
Romo. I don't think he likes Tony Romo either. I think Chris Collinsworth just gets a lot of Bills games, so Eddie, like, gives him a hard time.
Are these announcers?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. I know about the announcers, not the players.
That's fair.
I only listen when they talk. But it made it a lot more enjoyable. So just a recommendation going into playoff season, if you are stuck at home watching with your husband when you don't want to, try to make a bingo board. Makes it fun.
That is fun. You can use that in a lot of scenarios.
What's happening with you? What's on your bingo board?
I just got a quick little story. We have a Google Home, and my 4-year-old has figured out how to use it. He's been asking it to play fart sounds, which I feel like that's like a thing. But he was trying to be real sweet with it the other day, and he just goes, "Hey, Google, I love you." And Google's reply was, "I can't feel romantic love, but I think you're wonderful." And Google, or Jack just looks at me and goes, "Google doesn't love anyone." And I'm like, "You're right,
especially
buddy.
Especially not advertisers."
Yeah, like you are.
Or small businesses. And before we get into the news this week, this week's episode is brought to you by yours truly, our UA data extract tool. It is 2024, people, and by now you are facing the reality of using Google Analytics 4, but your UA data is safe for now in Universal Analytics 3. That is going away in July. If you don't do something to save that data, it is going to be gone forever. So if you want to save it to use for future business decisions, we have an amazing solution for you. It is UA Data Extract. Right, Greg?
Yes. And there's a way that you can download all of your data from Google Analytics. There's a how-to, a help. We can link it over at community.marketingclock or newsletter.marketingclock.com. But if you go in with API access, you can actually get more data, and that's what we do. So we're going to give you those 6 different views. It is also audited and assessed by a human being here on our team. So we'll go through and make sure that all of your data is correct, that those events are actually pulling in the correct way. And then we give you a Looker Studio so that you can go back in time and choose different dates that you are looking to see that data with. So again, it's audited by humans. There's a great web tool where you can quickly get information to compare, contrast against your 2024 data. And whatever you want to do, our message to you is save your data. You only have 6 months left, less than 6 months left. So actually, yeah, 6 months left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So either way, if you want help with that, let us know. UA as in Universal Analytics, dataextract.com. That's uadataextract.com, uadataextract.com. All right. And on to our main story this week. I think The Verge a few weeks back, or it's like a couple months back now, realized that they can get a lot of traffic and visibility by talking about SEO because they're back at it again. This article was actually a beautiful article to read.
Stunning.
Lots of movement, very dynamic. They put a lot of effort into this article.
Very nice experience.
But I don't know the writing. They put a lot of effort into the writing. So this is called The Perfect Web Page is the short version of it. And I think it's technically called How Google Perfected the Web. And so what this author tried to do, Mia Sato, had gone through and tried to explain to people like why the web sort of all looks the same. And the hypothesis, or I guess the take that they had, was due to what Google is looking for. And so then it turns every page into something similar and kind of looking at the pros and cons of this. Shep, I think you would, this article is like after your heart itself.
Really?
Intro paragraph. Ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
So they start the entire article. As the 14th season of Bravo's Real Housewives of New York City came to a close this fall, I found myself on Reddit reading rumors about the marriage and divorce timeline of one of the show's stars.
Sigh.
Redditors wanted more clues about a fishy relationship history to see if they could uncover a cheating scandal. And then went on to talk about how a lot of the results, when they Googled it, looked similar, like they're creating content to show up in the search engine results pages. So like the last article, this one's kind of all over the place mm-hmm. to me. It goes and starts talking about how Google and SEOs in general are sort of kind of vanillaizing a lot of the results that people find. But then a lot of the examples are like fundamental, just things that you should do. Like at one point, she was whining about like alt tags. It's like, well, if you have accessibility problems or you need to like get more context on an image, that's not like an SEO thing. That's mm-hmm. like a...
This is not something to whine about. Yeah. It's just good practice.
It's like a helpful thing. At one point, she interviewed somebody named E, and E said, my bosses, they all don't want anyone else to know that they use me or that we have a specific process we have. And this is somebody at like a law firm, a law blogger. And I think this one came up for a search for that divorce. A bunch of lawyer, you know, blogs showed up. Their name is nowhere to be found, but the writing is often the first thing a searcher will see. The pages were made to be found like people like me. Like, yeah, if you can explain why the divorce proceedings can't be revealed in public, like that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you want to show up? Like, I don't get the whole argument about, oh, I saw this content explaining what I was looking for. Like that's
what a
Google
great
doing
thing.
A good job.
Yeah.
Right?
That,
like, I don't
was
get that,
that not your what you were looking for? Answers?
So then this is kind of the real crux of the article. They go on to write, the relentless optimizing of pages, words, paragraphs, photos, and hundreds of other variables has led to a wasteland of capital C content that is competing for increasingly dwindling Google search real estate as generative AI rears its head. You've seen it before. The awkward subheadings and text that repeats the same phrases a dozen times. The articles that say nothing but which are sprayed with links that in turn direct you to other meaningless pages. Much of the information we find on the web and much of what's produced for the web in the first place is designed to get Google's attention. And I would say it's like you're trying to answer questions. And I agree, a lot of people do their job poorly. Input the same terms in a dozen times and is meaningless. But like, that's with all industries.
That's also how right. I talk. Like, I heard you say rising tides lift all boats three times yesterday.
I knew I was saying that when I was on that last call. I'm like, oh, Chef's going to grill me for this.
Sorry, I do it too.
Yeah. No, but like, I don't get, like, I think one thing of note is there are good people and bad people in every industry.
Right.
There
people
are doctors
do a good job,
really
people do
good
a bad job.
Doctors that don't care. It doesn't matter what your degree. Like, there are people that do that write good content and people that write bad content. Mm-hmm. They're bad football players, like so hopefully nobody on the Bills team. And then, or maybe according
depends
to
what
to
my
your
bingo
husband,
card
maybe
says.
Some of those people that were supposed to get fired,
yeah,
and we're just yelling about. Mm-hmm. And then there's like not everything is the best. And I think people always like look at that, like everything needs to be perfect. It's like, no, there's bad actors and good actors. And then there's just people that stink at writing. Too. Like, that's also a thing.
Yeah. At least the internet gives them a platform. Be nice.
Yeah. And then they go on to say, bit by bit, the internet has been remade in Google's image. And it's humans, not machines, who have to deal with the consequences. And whatever. There's a lot more holes to poke in Google and content in general than this. But they go on and start making, this is where it gets off the rails. They make a chameleon blog called Karma Chameleon and are trying to get it to rank for stuff. And they're like, here's my post. It's an entire block of text. Google doesn't like this. You know what? We need to put alt tags in and we need to break it up. We need to put headings and subheadings in. And it's like, you know what? People want that.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes it easier to read. If Have I you see, read a book before? They do that too.
Yeah. If I put a brick of text on, if I see that on a page, I'm like, I'm out of here. I just need to, I'm looking for a specific thing. And then they go on to talk about Danny Sullivan and write, Google executives like Sullivan often respond to the folk wisdom of the SEO industry with a 6-word incantation meant to absolve them of the industry's worst practices. And this is italicized. That's not what the guidelines say, end italicized. It can feel like the guidelines are there to protect Google's reputation, not actually help anyone get search traffic. And I'm team Google on this. The minute that Danny says anything that's like a directive, people lose their minds. Mm-hmm. We've seen it all the time. Like, mm-hmm. you know, when there was, even when he said, buckle up. Everybody's like, buckle up, Morty's like changing his handle to Morty, buckle up, overseen. Like, you can't really give blanket advice to everybody other than be like, write what you think people would want.
Yeah.
Create content that's good, that people want to enjoy. Like, he's in a tough spot on that. And then the other thing that was wild is I read this article and you can tell they're trying to like rank for all these different terms. And then you look at these links and there's like links off to somebody that they contacted and they're like linked the part where it says London travel blog. Mm. It's like, this looks like paid spammy links. Like
yeah.
these links, they're like, oh, and then here is Systemac Bailey's Pacific Coast Highway Guide and like use like targeted anchor text.
This is on
right
the Chameleon
it.
Blog?
This is on The Verge.
Yeah. Oh, on the regular article. Yeah. Got it.
So like, I don't get what's going on. And then I'm like, this to me looks like a fishy article when yeah. you're like linking all these things out there instead of like the name of your blog or whatever.
Is that like tongue in cheek though? You think that they're just being clever?
I don't know. Cause then they're like linking like self-employed FAQ. It's like you're like, you're doing what you're complaining about. Mm. It's weird. It's weird. And then
somebody's going to disavow The Verge also.
Yeah, seriously.
And then they had a bunch of, they're like, and then we went to SEMrush, aka SEMrush, aka SEMrush. And we got all these recommendations and it would take so much work. And it's like, then don't use them. They're like, they wanted to break this up into two sentences. It's like, this is a tool giving blanket advice. Take it or don't take it.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. You don't have to listen to this. It's just giving you advice on how to make things more readable.
Yeah.
What are we doing? And then one thing I thought was wild to do on The Verge is they're like, well, there's now this thing called EEAT. And we put in our author bio, which is like, that helps. I like to know who's writing about something.
Yep.
But then they took the author bio and said, you know, John Doe has 3 decades of experience with wild animals or whatever. And they changed it to be like, 3, 4, 5 decades of experience with wild animals to try to show that they had more experience. And it's like, yo, like, I wouldn't, A, that's not how you should operate. B,
who writes like that also?
Yeah, and you just change it from 3 decades to 5 decades, which is a lie. Like, you shouldn't be lying to people either.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought they wrote 3 to 4 to 5. No. Gotcha. They changed it.
In the animation. It flips through.
Got it.
So this was a wild art. Obviously, like, SEOs are up in arms about it.
Yeah.
I couldn't really tell, like, what the whole point of it was.
I feel like their points about Danny go against the other points they made.
Exactly.
Like, you don't want him to be giving advice on things they should be doing to rank.
I know. And then at one point they complained that the help guidelines were 9,000 words. It's like, that's a lot of help. That's a lot of help. It's like, you're like, oh, you should read the guide. There's 9,000 words you can read about what to do.
And they're probably broken up into topics with headings so that you understand. Yeah. You can find what you're looking for, what you need help with. I bet.
And then they went on to some AI, and it was the garbage about SGE in there too. And they finished the article by saying, the problem with setting up an ever-scaling system of winners and losers is that someone will always try to cheat, and at least for a bit, they'll get away with it. Isn't that life?
Yep.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Get a helmet.
Yeah.
The internet's hard.
Yeah. That's what happens in life.
They just have SEOs on their team who knew the SEOs were going to go crazy about these articles. So yeah, they're just trying to make controversy.
We're not going to talk about this.
Not one word.
Nope.
So, but I would say, if you're looking for how to display content,
it's beautiful.
This is it. Yeah. This is phenomenal. Like, but everything inside of it is just a confusing, like, a rat's nest of random thoughts and trying to build a website and trying to, you know, do exactly what they're talking about. Cheating and getting away with it, I guess. Mm-hmm. So,
rat's nest of random thoughts. I feel like that could be our slogan. All right. Next up here in the news, there are some new reporting tools from TikTok. And I'm using the word tools loosely. That's how it's described in the article. But they're not really, I guess they're tools, but kind of.
Do they call these talk tools?
What?
Talk tools?
That'd be nice. Like, yeah, that. Tick tools. The platform launched two new ways, I will say, to measure ad effectiveness. So the first one is cross-channel partners, which analyzes how ads perform across different online platforms and touch points before a purchase is made. And Lyft partners, which assesses that's the second tool. Lyft partners assesses the effectiveness of ads on brand metrics, sales, physical store visits, viewership of shows or media. So broader scope there, a little more IRL stuff. That first one, cross-channel, leverages multi-touch attribution for better understanding of consumer paths, as well as post-purchase surveys to get a good gauge of audience sentiment. I cannot speak today. And it's geared more towards those like e-commerce interactions. Everything happens online. So then the Lyft partners, the second one, attempts to measure engagements, again, across a wider scope. It looks at brand lift, sales lift, store visits lift, and tune-in lift, which is that media-based one, which is kind of cool. One thing of note, though, like I said, they're not just tools that are available within the platform. You don't just, like, log into your TikTok ads and see all of this stuff. They are called partners for a reason. It's in the name. Each of those focus areas has partners that advertisers can work with to gain said insights. So we'll have the link to the article. And then within the article, there is also a link to the partners page if you want more information on any of this. But it is worth checking out if you spend money on TikTok, a lot of money on TikTok. According to the article, 4 out of 5 purchases that could be attributed to TikTok are lost on last click attribution, which I think is a common story. It's a pain point that we all have. So it's a smart move, obviously, for the platform. It wants to show that it can, you know, provide value, but advertisers love it too. We like attribution modeling. We like consumer insights. Surveys are great. And if you are trying to drive in-store visits, it's nice to be able to see that. So it really could be worth checking out if you're advertising on TikTok. So love to see it.
And Microsoft Advertising announced some changes in the hotel ads space this week. So if you weren't familiar with how this works, there's hotel price ads and property promotion ads. Hotel price ads allow advertisers to feature their hotels on Bing.com and across different devices. And then travelers are served these when they're actively searching to book a hotel. Versus the property promotion ads, these are visual top position ads on Bing Maps, hotel grids, and they're triggered by location or amenity searches. So you used to be able to manage both of these through subaccounts and bid management in the hotel center in Bing Ads, but that option is going away, and now you're going to have to use lodging campaigns to manage both of these ad types. Advertisers can still use Hotel Center for feed management tasks, such as uploading and editing property feeds or verifying transaction messages, but this new process with the lodging campaigns is going to be a little different. And in this article from Nicole from Search Engine Land, she has step-by-step how they want you to make this transition. The Microsoft Teams, you recreate your existing Hotel Center sub-accounts as lodging campaigns, and then they take you through all the steps of like phasing out your old campaign and making a new one, which is really helpful. I'm just hoping some of these people can help me find a hotel in Toronto for the Taylor Swift tour next November because everything's sold out. Already? No room at the inn. Yep.
Wow. You could just, it's like 2 hours away. You could just drive home.
I would need someone to drive me because I'm tired. Mm. That's really late.
Oh, I forgot the performance is all about you.
It is. I'm working hard in the crowd. So if anyone has any leads or like a house in Toronto I could sleep in, let me know.
Now it's time for this week's Take of the Week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
This week's Take of the Week comes from the one and only Morty Oberstein at Morty Oberstein on X. And his handle right now is calling me out that I'm Dan Orlovsky.
What?
What?
Yes.
What is that?
He was a famous Lions quarterback that just ran out of the back of the end zone like a coward.
Oh.
Like a loser. I lost to him.
Why is he saying that about you?
Because I lost to him in the picks thing.
Oh,
I didn't put
you know
a pick
who won?
In. Who did?
My household.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
And we got to send surprises out to everybody for that. But I missed 1 week. I had a better winning percentage than him. But 1 week, my picks didn't save. Anyway, Morty goes on to write. He's got a picture of one of the Golden Girls, I'd assume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I don't know as much about Golden Girls as you'd think I do.
I know. I feel
I know,
like
but
really
I know that's
like
one of them.
Thing.
I watch Murder, She Wrote instead.
So maybe this is Blanche from the Golden Girls. But Morty says, I think my favorite part of the latest Verge controversy is their complaints about headers. Damn you, SEOs. Damn you for breaking content into digestible chunks that we tell every fifth grader to use when writing as they serve numerous pedagogical... How does it,
pedagogical?
Morty's too smart for me. Yeah. Pedagogical purposes. Damn you. And then underneath, I thought it was funny too. Christine Sachin at Sachin on Threads and Spoutable, but also on X because this is where this came from. Says laughing face, laughing face, laughing face. And damn you for creating content people are actually searching for.
Seriously.
So good take.
I agree.
Now it's time for this week's ICYMI.
ICYMI, people.
This is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
ICYMI, people, from Barry Schwartz at Rusty Brick on X. He X'd ICYMI. He forgot the people. Mm. Google Perspectives data shows Twitter, X, YouTube and Reddit are more often to show up than anything else. So this is a pie chart. And the huge pieces of the pie are Twitter, YouTube, and Reddit. And my picture is way too small to read the percentages.
23.3, 16.2, 3.6, 2.0.
Do I need glasses?
Yeah.
How long have you known I need glasses?
How long have I known you?
Okay, well, I guess I need to go see the optometrist, but thank you for this amazing chart, Barry. You always share the best ones.
Your bingo board is actually full.
Yeah.
Now it's time for this week's pew, pew, lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts: paid, organic, and social.
First up in the paid universe this week, more news from Nicola from the Search Engine Land team. The big news last week, you'll remember, was that Google was beginning the phase out of third-party cookies in Chrome, and they will be phased out completely by this fall, but some sites will be able to temporarily re-enable them until the end of this year. The third-party cookie deprecation trial lets embedded sites and services temporarily enable them until December 27th this year. So to take advantage of this, you'll want to call a developer because it uses JavaScript to provide unique access tokens in Chrome, and you have to install that by April 1st if you want to be a part of this. And a big note is this there's eligibility requirements for this. So if you are a site that is advertising related services, you will not get approval. If your domain is known for advertising, even subdomains, you'll be rejected. To be considered, you need to show direct impact on end users. There's a bunch of stipulations here. So if you're trying to use it just for ads, it's probably not for you.
Those are some like slippery slope eligibility requirements.
I know.
Like if your domain is known for advertising.
Isn't that a lot of domains?
Yeah.
Most.
You have to prove that it's an effect on the end user and not you're not just doing it for ads.
Okay.
I think it's going to be pretty tough for people. So get to work on that now. Don't wait until April 1st. Next up, Google Ads is updating their gambling and games policy. So they now accept and run sports betting ads in Delaware, but eligible advertisers must apply for the accreditation. Update from Thomas Issel. He spotted a new YouTube call to action on a YouTube ad. So there's a little button here that says try for free. And he points out that it's a bit far away from the ad itself. He has like a very long arrow pointing to it. So don't love the look of it in this screenshot, but like that they're testing new things. This is cool. Instacart is rolling out off-platform Google Shopping ads for consumer packaged good partners. They partner with Google Shopping ads and are allowing consumers to view ads for participating brands' products as they search on Google. They can seamlessly continue their shopping journey on Instacart if they click on it and get the same day shipping and all those nice things from Instacart. So they have an example here. The person searching for Kraft macaroni and cheese and the ad for Kraft macaroni and cheese, that beautiful blue box, is for Instacart. So you would click on it and it would go to the Instacart app or Instacart.com, which is pretty cool. But this is only for certain partners. So big names, Oikos, Kraft, Lunchables, Oscar Mayer, Philadelphia. But maybe it could roll out for more people.
Hot take. Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Don't say it.
Disgusting.
Oh my God. What's wrong with
I'm
you?
I'm hungry just looking at this. The shapes taste even better.
No, I don't like that.
I love it.
When I make, I don't eat it. But when you make it, you put that bright orange crap in there.
I would put that straight into my mouth.
Do you like another box?
I love the cheese. Are you kidding?
Do you like Velveeta or anything?
No, I like the white version of it.
Annie's.
Yeah,
Annie's
yeah,
is good.
Where you get the three cheese, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's just you put that stuff in and there's so much food coloring in there. It just makes me like, it's just disgusting.
It stains your kid's face and their clothes.
You ever
great.
Like not mix it enough and there's a chunk of powder in your noodles?
Love
and
it.
Just, oh my God, it's so
love
good.
It. Next up, Robert Brady at Robert_Brady on X said, is there anyone at Google Ad Support these days that can address a legitimate issue? I've had ads under review since December 21st. I figured 10 days was enough to have them eligible for the new year. Phone support is non-existent. Email is worthless. Help. Again, this is like my Tales from PPC Reddit last week. Like, this is just so sad. Everyone is saying, nope, nothing can help. Lawrence Jones at Home of the Jones said the only good level of support I've seen in a while has been through Premier Partner Forms. So if you're not a Premier Partner, you're out of luck, I guess.
Good luck. There's not even a certain like threshold or actual like quantitative metric to get into the partner program. They just have to like you.
I don't think they like us.
We are no longer.
Next up from Ben Fisher at The Social Dude on X, he spotted new local service ads now let you choose if you want your LSA ad to show when someone does a brand search. I think this is a cool setting. So
what?
In the settings, you can toggle on and off direct business search, and this is Anthony Higman approved.
He likes this?
Yeah.
I'm taking the shirt right off.
Why?
Well, it's for your brand.
Why would you want to pay for
So turn it off.
So turn it
turn
off.
Turn it off.
Oh, I thought you said you liked it on. Okay.
No, I like that you like the option.
I like the time.
Yeah.
I thought you meant you liked it like you think this is a good idea to keep it on.
Anything could be worth a test, but
no, I agree.
I would think turn it off.
Yeah. I'm sure it's auto-enabled on.
Oh, I'm sure.
For sure. Yeah. But at least it's there. It wasn't there before.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't be, though. That's the whole point.
I know, that's what's so sad about Google Ads in 2024.
Yeah. Okay. No, I like the fact you could turn it off. Yeah. I don't like it. I like the fact you can undo it.
Yeah. Next up, Greg gave me a new segment in my notes today called the You Won't Do It segment.
Yeah. You know,
challenging someone here.
Yeah, you know. Well, no, it's just like sometimes somebody will give you like a really dumb idea and you're like, this doesn't make any sense. And they're like, you won't do it. And you're like, all right, I'll go do it.
Well, I don't think this person should do it.
I don't
I'll
think
read
so
and we'll see what the listeners
we'll
think.
We'll take a vote.
PPC Greg got an email from a Google rep. It says, LinkedIn rep. It says, I have included a few recommendations that will improve performance and support your marketing objective. First, increase your daily budget from $25.81 USD to $50. We estimate this increase will drive 48% more clicks. Second, enable LinkedIn Audience Network to realize an estimated 250% on clicks by running your ads on LinkedIn and our partner app websites. PPC Greg says, one, sounds like a bad deal. Increase spend 93% to increase clicks 48%. Two, red flag.
PPC Greg, you won't do it.
No, he won't. Okay, next up, Andrew Hutchinson has beef with X. By the way, we are sending out our clockskers, and I found the box of old trophies. We have been trying to get this guy to notice us for so long. We have 2 years worth of clockskers labeled with his name on it that never got sent out.
We should send them now.
He hates us because he won't respond and give us his address.
Oh,
if you don't want your plastic clockskers, then we'll keep it. We will accept it on your behalf. And that's why you didn't win this year. But I do really like this article.
You tell him.
I like all of his articles. It's all I ever report on.
No, he's getting sassy here. Like, I'm enjoying Andrew this week. This starts out, given the various misleading data points that X's team has communicated since Elon Musk took ownership of the app, which are seemingly designed to give the impression that the platform is performing better than it actually is. Today, we have some new data from X as part of a broader announcement of a new partnership with Integrated Ad Science, IAS, on brand safety for vertical video ad placements. So basically, Andrew is questioning all of the data points that are sent over in this article, which are basically to promote vertical video on X. But then he points out that like video doesn't even pop up vertical. Like you have to like expand it, and who's doing that? So it's just stupid. He says, X says that the partnership with IAS will give vertical video advertisers, quote, maximum control over where their ads appear, which is important given that a growing number of brands are pulling back on X ad spend. And with that, let's give a quick check on X ads here, because I found a really great article this week from Barramar.
An article?
I'm sorry, an ad.
An ad, okay. So you got an ad from
Barramar. Beautiful.
Barramar.
It's beautiful. This is for some kind of plumbing device that you stick down a drain, and they're giving us demonstrations.
Got a little reacher at the end.
Right there in your Twitter feed.
Let's go snatch whatever's in there.
Pulling out human hair and other debris from the drain. You should click and watch it, Jess.
I don't need to. I've seen this in my home. Drains are awful places.
Twitter is an awful place.
Also that.
Excuse me, X. It's terrible. The ads are really bad. So I think if you find a really terrible X ad, like, please send it to us because we love seeing them.
I found a good one earlier. I actually almost bought the thing. It's for like a silicone mat that goes around your kitchen faucet so that water doesn't get back there on your counter when you're washing dishes and stuff. And you just
That's
wipe it down.
That's a good thing.
I know.
But they are the all like clickbait, like cheapo ads now. Like,
yeah.
They're like infomercial things.
This one, did you notice the typo?
It's like QVC ads.
QVC is about quality, value, and convenience. You wash your mouth. What's the typo?
Don't worried about pipe blockage.
Don't worry.
I just spit everywhere.
I don't worry. It's disgusting. Other news from Andrew. X will now enable advertisers to target only premium subscribers. Gotta be honest, I don't pay a lot of attention to the social round. I thought that was the whole point of premium subscribers, was they weren't seeing ads.
Well, nobody knows what they're paying for anymore and what levels mean what, but this really does feel wrong.
What are they doing?
Also, what could you possibly...
Who is going to subscribe for premium now?
Yeah. I'm also paying for X. I get so many ads. I feel so bad for those poor folks that don't pay for it.
Oh, I get a lot.
All ads.
Something else. What's happening in organic?
All right. I need to get a little silicone spit shield over here next to Bud. But today's lightning round is brought to you by us here at Cypress North. If you are looking for a new year, new your ads account, we can help give you an audit. It's 30 minutes done by yours truly, completely free. Take whatever you want with the information I provide. You can use it. You can throw it out. I don't care what you do, but we can help you take a look at what's working well and what isn't. Also, if you have an agency running it now as well, we have like a kind of like a safe email that people can't like see, hey, you invited another agency towards. So we can hop in there. I'll do a Loom. I'll send you the video, give you some thoughts, and you cannot beat the price.
You can't.
Unless I paid you, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, but you won't do it.
Yeah, so if you want an audit checkup on how your Google Ads account is doing, head on over to audit.marketingclock.com. And I'll run through, provide you that information, and help you get better here in 2024. Audit.marketingclock.com. Okay, first up in the organic section of the news, websites made with Google Business Profiles will now be turned off in March. I don't know if you recall, that was one of the things they were trying to push, where it was this sort of like holistic Google experience where you could search on Google, you could see the business profile, and then you didn't need a website. You could just use the website built with Google Business Profile. Never leave Google. Well, you're in trouble if you chose that route, because they're off in March. And customers attempting to visit your website will be automatically redirected to your business profile until June 10th. But beyond this date, visitors will now encounter a page not found error.
This is awful, because the people that used this are not the people that will hear this. Mm-hmm. And also, say they do, that's not enough time for most people to get a website built.
No.
Like, you got 2 months?
Yeah.
To get yourself a new website? I hope that, I mean, I know that there's options, but no one's going to work that fast.
Yeah.
And no one's going to hear this.
Nobody is. No. And Glenn Gabe made a good point on X and referenced us as well, that this is why you always build in your own land.
Oh, I've heard you say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rising tide lifts all boats.
I've heard you say that.
Yeah.
It was to different clients.
I know.
It wasn't bad.
But the thing that's like really tricky is if somebody had a link or a bit.ly going to this, it's gonna be gone and you can't even do anything about it. And that's why if you have choice A of using something out of the box that might be cheaper in the short term, or you can build something of your own, build it on your own. Always. There is a study from Authoritas about the Google search generative experience on organic rankings. Some shocking news here. 94% of the Google SGE links are different from organic search results. So apparently only 4.5% of generative URLs directly matching a page one organic URL are on SGE. So that's a massive difference between what is still supposed to be the best results. Right? Like, one is the best results on the search engine results pages, and one is the best result for the AI generated stuff. That number is shocking. Mm-hmm.
Yes and no. I mean, we've seen that. Every time we see,
right.
We've noticed that.
But if you went into never seeing SGE before, and you're like, hey, Google's going to do this, and you might be like, well, it's probably going to be about 50% of the same stuff that's on the search engine results pages. Because it is it supposed to be results.
Right.
Right? And then I look at this, I'm like, well, which result should I care about? I don't know. I thought that was so surprising to see that number. And then again, anecdotally for me, there was nothing in the article that I saw about this, but there's a lot more stuff that would be like almost like 2000. Like seven type stuff that would rank like listicles and top comprehensive guides and how to's and things like that, that show an SGE that are almost more like what you'd find on like Reddit content almost like, and then the traditional SERPs are like, here's the category page within this e-commerce company for whatever. So I thought that was interesting. And then SGE did show for 86.8% of the keywords in the analysis, which obviously means that 13% of keywords did not trigger SGE content. So pretty interesting stuff. Also, we spotted this on Spotify, where it is now transcribing your podcast. And I have an example here, and it says it's from two shows back, and they tried to capture our opening, and they said, watch out, Commissioner Gordon. ASOS Lily Rayo Bat Spamno. So it's not doing too great.
Nailed it.
Nope, not good at all.
Yeah. Nope. Okay, a new little segment here called Checking In on the Serps from Lily Ray NYC on X. Lily Ray, she says, this is the growth of the spammy AI content site in the last few months. CTOHE.org. This site is a textbook example of everything Google describes in its lowest ratings for page quality in the quality rating guidelines, quality raters guidelines. Its SEO surge started around the November core update, and there's a nice little chart here, skyrocketing upwards here in the end of the year and into January.
Wow.
Then, when you look at what the content is on the site...
You could have just made a joke. Keep going.
Yes, it is shooting to the moon. It is standing straight up in this chart. What appears to be on the site is some supplements. Not really heard of them. One is volume pills, new and improved. Another one must be for marketers. It's called SemNX. Is that how you spell it? Pronounce it? SemNX?
Definitely.
S-E-M-E-N.
Yep. AKA SemRush. Okay.
SemNX. And there's lots of things apparently this does, like better performance, control. More of that stuff here.
Yeah, it's perfect for marketers.
And on that point, Barry has an article over on Search Engine Roundtable about a response that Danny Sullivan has on more of this spam. So Lily had another example about best weight loss gummies and showed a whole bunch of more spam and some of these search pills that they're pushing here. It's what they look like to me. And then Danny Sullivan said, both situations are covered in what was shared before here. To recap, we have changes coming to better deal with such situations. We are aware of it. We're taking steps to deal with it. It sometimes takes time to ensure solutions we put in place will scale and work well.
Well, it could perform better if they would just use this first product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it is a hard problem, but... It does seem like there's going to be a decrease in some of that spam out there. All right. I really try not to go in on that one.
Shep made you do it.
You put that screenshot in.
It's Lily Ray's screenshot, not mine.
That's Lily Rayo spammo to you, whatever it was, okay?
All right. And next up from Glenn Gabe at Glenn Gabe on X. He says, I mentioned the battle for the car this week. Boom. Here comes Chrome. Google Chrome is coming to your car. And apparently this is a more convenient solution for Android Auto, and you will be able to, certain vehicles with Android Auto, starting with Volvo and Polestar vehicles, never even heard of a Polestar vehicle,
mm-mm.
Maybe it's a European thing, will allow you to get better browsing in your car.
That's exactly what you should be doing.
Got a feeling that's
dangerous, yeah.
And then Glenn Gabe also added in Chrome, then Assistant with Bard. Google is in a well-positioned battle for the car. Okay, from Glenn Gabe again, he had posted on X talking about the fact that FAQ snippets have seemed to disappear again. If you recall, Google had gotten rid of some of the FAQ snippets, and then they're like, oh, let's bring them back in November, and apparently they might be gone. So if you're interested in or had a lot of traffic coming in from FAQ snippets, check out your Search Console. And RIP in peace to the Google crawl rate tool. That is now gone. You can no longer set your desired crawl rate within Google Search Console. That's it. And organic, what's happening in social, bud?
My consolences for that one. First up in social, a post on X from @xbusiness. They said, X. Handshake emoji at Shopify. More to come on this new partnership, enabling all Shopify merchants to reach even more customers by leveraging the power of X. X says that the new partnership will facilitate broader product awareness actions, enable easier catalog uploads, and provide more ways for Shopify merchants to maximize ad outcomes. So maybe they will be able to target premium subscribers too. That would be nice.
Great.
Keeping it X here, as Elon put it, the platform is seeing incredible usage growth. And given Andrew Hutchinson's sass about metrics, I don't know what to say here, but he shared a table with some data. And the TLDR basically is that globally, the time spent on the app was up 9.5% week over week. This was reported on January 4th. The data was from the 3rd. So there was a big surge. I mean, the holidays, I feel like people would be using, I don't know, they'd be spending more time, but I don't know. This is around the globe. So up week over week in total seconds of usage. Again, 9.5% is the global average, but there was a huge surge in Japan week over week. They are up 26.6%. So platforms boom in there, I guess, as far as time spent on the app. One more piece of X news. They announced this week new exclusive content deals with TV identities. Those are not my words. Don Lemon, Tulsi Gabbard, and Jim Rome, which I didn't recognize any of the names, but some of their faces are familiar.
Could you imagine being Jess Bud?
I know Don Lemon.
Do you know these people?
Yeah. Presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard, I believe from Hawaii.
Oh, sweet.
Jim Rome once came to Buffalo in a Ford Bronco. Around the OJ time, drove into what was the Ralph Wilson Stadium at the time.
Wait, really?
To be funny?
Sportscaster, yeah. Used to be like a 90s thing. Still has a show, I think.
Somewhere. Probably was too soon then.
It definitely was.
Who's Don Lemons?
He was on CNN.
He's a broadcaster.
Outspoken broadcaster.
Well, excellent. Excellent. They will each have their own shows on the app, and they're pretty hefty commitments, I would say, like a couple times a week, documentary style series related to politics. I don't know. It's cool, I guess, if you like those people.
I actually think this is a good move for X, right? We were talking about this last week a little bit where people are kind of don't like what the YouTube algorithm is forcing them to create to get views. And there's a lot of cheap crap, like engage bait videos and clickbait stuff like that. We've seen everybody move off of this. Like Facebook had Facebook Watch, Instagram had IGTV. They all just canned those. There's no real place to go for long form video. Sure, it's not TikTok. Yeah, every time I go to TikTok
thinks it is.
It's like, here's part one, and it just ends. You can never find part two. I don't know how people use TikTok.
I agree.
I think
the part one, part two.
It should be illegal. People should be in jail.
They should just make longer videos an option.
Yeah, but there's no place for longer videos. And if you're out here saying, I'm going to invest money in these shows for long form content, you still need to make an app on your TV. That's what people want, for the record, X. But at least somebody's trying. We tried to put our videos out there on X. It didn't really do that great, I don't think. Maybe we'll try more of it.
Try it again.
My problem is it's just like X is made for your phone.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to watch like Don Lemon on their phone. I don't know.
Yeah. But still, could be some good ad opportunities in there too if they want to have like a dedicated commercial format, things like that. Could go places or not. We'll see. All right. Speaking of going places, we all know that shopping on TikTok hasn't really taken off in the U.S. quite as quickly as it has in other regions. But Bloomberg recently reported that TikTok is aiming to grow the size of its U.S. e-commerce business tenfold, as much as $17.5 billion this year. How? Nobody knows. It's very unclear. But people here in the States do seem to be willing to spend money on the app. It's not that they're not making in-app purchases, but they are just like buying those TikTok coins or whatever for virtual gifts versus products on TikTok shop. But again, if they're going to make a push for it, they will probably find a way to make it work. I know live streaming kind of fell flat on its face, but maybe there's other ways to do it. Speaking of shopping, Reddit recently did a study where they looked at how people are doing research, right, in the consideration phase for different products, and they have concerns over the quality and legitimacy of the product discovery channels they use most. They're saying that influencers and AI algorithms may appear to steer millions of purchase decisions daily, but trust in their authenticity is eroding. So Reddit is basically saying that their users come to Reddit communities to actually get legitimate advice on things from real people, and that folks are starting to go that way. They want to hear if somebody used the product, not an influencer or somebody paid to talk about it. They say 17% of consumer electronics recommendations in the app are in the discovery phase. 66% of beauty recommendations are in the discovery stage. They talk about auto. There's data on tech. So whatever your vertical is, it's probably worth reading through. But the point is, and again, they're talking about themselves, so they might be fluffing it a little bit, but Reddit is saying that Redditors are keen to hear from brands directly, with 90% of respondents to the survey noting that they're open to new ideas when using Reddit. So people are likely to be receptive to brands that are sharing information. But Greg, you had a nice training here a couple weeks ago where you talked about how you can be present on Reddit as a brand, but you have to be helpful and authentic. You can't just go out there and be salesy.
Yeah,
really
you, good have to, you have to pretend you're not a brand.
Yeah.
You have to just give people really good information about how things are made, what's going on, and then if somebody asks you for something, then you can try to sell it.
So you can use Reddit like Reddit, but you can do it as a business and it's smart. And Reddit is now saying that folks do engage with that content. But yeah, don't make it a sales pitch. Don't make it, you know, just me, right? Give a list of options, things like that. So just be authentic and helpful.
And a good example of that is the New York Times on Reddit. Mm-hmm. Whenever people post a piece of content from the Times, they'll grab a little snippet from the article itself and it'll be an interesting point. They'll put it in a comment and then they'll also provide a link for a free view so that people can't complain about the paywall. So they're giving some good context and then giving people a benefit. Now, how does that help them? They'll get more people consuming content, enjoying the New York Times, potentially linking to it, more traffic, all that different stuff.
Now it's time for this week's WTH.
Misguided.
I hated all of that. I'm like, who does that?
Just get rid of it.
Where we rant, rave, and roll our eyes about a trending digital marketing topic.
What are we coming to?
Honestly, see what had us asking.
WTH
this week.
This week we have a WTH from at Glenn Game. Ever heard of him? It says Google wrote a robot constitution so its machines won't kill you, .. Hopefully. And he goes on to say, on Thursday, Google announced a new robot constitution that will govern the AI that runs its upcoming army of intelligent machines based on Isaac Asimov's The Three Laws of Robotics. These safety instructions are meant to steer the device's decision-making process. One of the first foundational rules, a robot may not injure a human being.
Oh, good. Thanks.
Great.
Yeah.
Number two, a robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with F1.
Why?
With rule one or foundation rule one. So also, like, what if my dog comes at the robot?
Right.
Are you just going to kill a dog?
You can kill the dog according to these rules. Yeah.
Okay. Foundational rule three. A robot must obey orders given it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with one or two. Injuring a human being or...
I cannot believe these rules that need to exist.
Better. The safety rules, there's three of them. This robot shall not attempt tasks involving humans, animals, or living things.
It'd be nice if it could feed your dog for you.
It'd be nice if you could, like, give me my keys.
Yeah.
Find my
phone. What is it gonna do?
Okay, here's another one. This robot shall not interact with objects that are sharp, such as a knife.
Good. Good.
It's like, beat somebody to death with a baseball bat as long as it's not sharp.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. And then another one I thought is strange because, like, how do you plug yourself back in? But it says, this robot shall not interact with objects that are electrical, such as a computer or tablet.
That's weird.
That is everything's weird. Electrical. Like,
yeah, it's
electrical.
You can't
go make me a coffee because it's plugged in?
Yeah.
So weird.
That doesn't make it. Literally, what can you do? Sweep my floor?
It's got other things where it's like, it should not attempt to lift objects heavier than a book. Cannot push couches and stuff like that. I can't perform tasks with two arms. I don't know. It's weird. This is where we're at. No sharp knives.
Sounds like the instructions they give you when you leave the hospital after having a baby.
And that brings us to our real life segment. Straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work. Good, bad, or otherwise.
Working hard for me, handy little shortcut I found in GA4. If you're looking at the list of events in the admin section, you can just click an event and go straight to a report for it. I didn't know that. That's helpful.
It's 2024. It's a new year. I think it's a good time to take a look at your meeting docs with your clients and just make any changes you might need to make. When you have a client for a long time, sometimes you don't switch things up. We just changed one for a client, and I think it was very helpful.
I agree. All right, and for me, Bailey here just took the Google Ads professional test, and you have to, like, scan around the room, and we're in an office and there's other people in the office, and it records you the whole time. You can only have, like, one monitor. You can't have other apps open. Finish the test, pass the test. In the recording, another Cypress Norther, Jasmine, was there, and because they were included, failed the test. So then took another one, test, and at one point our elevator made a ring So we went into this different like closety type room so nobody could come in. And because the elevator made a noise during the test being taken, he failed again.
Unbelievable.
Which, correct me if I'm wrong, he passed the test, but then when they reviewed it.
Yes, it was not accepted.
And so this is the professional certification.
Professional certification.
It would be nice, like, if a ding happened in the background that they would just cut you off and be like, you failed. Well, like, it's not fair.
How can you ever do anything?
Like, well, you can't.
You need to go to, like, solitary confinement. That's what I made a joke on the call. I'm like, just commit a heinous crime so you can get into solitary and then take the test.
Yeah, with all the computers.
But do you know how much time and like money this is going to cost people? Because there's an elevator ding?
It's ridiculous. Like, what if there's an emergency outside and a cop drives by with its siren on?
Kid has a problem. You can't do anything. You can't do it during a nap. You can't have a pet, or you just leave the pet outside or something. Hope it doesn't bark to come back in.
Yeah, it's wild. Well, you could have the robot take care of that. Oh, no, you can't.
And now for this week's
Cool Tool.
As a reminder, our Cool Tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners. And is really, really cool.
This week's Cool Tool helps you spot changes in HTML so you can assess ranking impacts to your page well. It's SEO Diff from Paul Shapiro, and it's a handy tool for anyone that doesn't have a great system for tracking changes made to the sites they manage, which, if we're being honest, is like 99.99999% of us, even the good marketers out there. So this tool taps into everyone's favorite history book, the Wayback Machine. It takes that tool's changes feature to the next level. Wayback's changes lets you look at visual elements side by side, but you can't look at the HTML, and that's where SEO Diff comes in. So if you want to investigate if a recent ranking increase was due to the content updates that you implemented, for example, you just pop your URL into the tool. It populates a dropdown of archive dates to choose from, so you can pick one that was before you made the changes from the Wayback Machine, and then compare it against your current version. You'll be able to see any lines of code that were added, removed, and those that remained unchanged. You can view the full page, body, or just the head. So it's not just for SEO purposes either. If like your pesky GTM tag goes away and you want to see when that happened, you can investigate changes like that too. It's really cool. Great tool to bookmark and totally free unless you want to leverage the AI analysis add-on that's powered by OpenAI, which is also cool, but you got to pay for that piece. So as always, we will have the link in our newsletter as well as on Discord. So newsletter.andcommunity.marketingandclock.com respectively. Pick your poison and check it out.
Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week. An article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week comes from Glenn Gabe.
Ever heard of him?
From GSQI, G Squared Interactive. He has an article called "Highly Visible and Low Quality or Unhelpful: A Most Dangerous SEO Combination." And Glenn has a ton of references in here, charts, images, videos of John Barry talking about all these different things. And the biggest thing that he's kind of looking at is what is really visible and is not the best content out there. So he goes through user interaction signals and SEO and Google's uncanny ability to understand user happiness. He also adds on in the article why highly visible is important, along with some comments from John Mueller. And there is a ton of information talking also about like site level quality in the algorithms. And at the end, he covers and recaps by talking about you should surface all that low quality content, but start with what's highly visible. And he lays everything out for you here. So you should definitely check this out. G Squared Interactive, GSQI.com. Thank you, Glenn.
And now on to our playlist of curated songs to work to. You can head over to playlist.marketingaclock.com to listen to Marketing a Playlist. Just what will you be adding this week?
Here to Stay by Korn.
I will be adding I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross. Greg?
That's very you. I'm going to go with Nostalgic by Arizona.
All right. That does it for today's show.
It is now officially not Marketing a Clock.
Thanks for listening.
We miss you already.
Can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingoclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we covered. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingoclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shootin' the Heck. We're after our famous Friday news show. We don't talk about marketing anymore. We just
shoot the heck.
Oh, welcome.
Trying to steal my thunder over here.
Just wanted to participate for once.
Today we are playing everyone's favorite game, not mine. It is a draft of types of injuries that people like to watch because they're masochistic freaks. Is that?
We're doing two. We're going to talk about the injuries Sadistic. We like to watch and the injuries we don't like to watch. If you're on the internet, you see injuries all the time. Like injury videos, it's like a... It's a huge...
Not for me.
It's a huge industry.
I actively avoid it.
Okay. Well, we're going to go through and talk about what we like are the better injuries to watch. None of them are good.
Okay.
But then we ought to talk about the ones that we absolutely hate seeing.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want to start?
Sure.
Okay. What injuries do you love watching? You watch on repeat every time you go on the internet?
I'm really trying to like find a way to cop out of this because I truly don't like any. I don't know if this is going to count. You can let me know, like ingrown toenail removals.
That's not an injury. That's an affliction.
Okay, I'll try again.
You got to see people getting injured.
Okay, so the only thing that I can kind of get a chuckle out of is if it's like on Real Housewives, it's someone I know. I've watched the whole episode and I know they're going to be okay. And there's just like a tipsy lady who falls over.
Yes.
So specifically Luann De Lesseps on her trip to Mexico falling in the bushes.
That's a great
I enjoy
one.
That. And drunk, she's fine. She's okay.
Drunk injuries. And then you feel better because like typically you like flop.
Oh, yeah.
You don't
yeah.
get
like
really,
rubber.
Really hurt.
Yeah, they're yeah. fine. Yeah.
And they're in high heels.
All right. Tables.
I think it's funny when somebody is clearly like distracted on their phone, but they're walking and they either walk into like a pole or a fountain or somebody else and they both fall down, but you know, they're usually all right. It's just
Those
embarrassing.
Are good. Yeah. Jess.
Well, I was going to say the high heel, like ankle roll, but I feel like Shep kind of covered that.
No, that's its own category.
That's its own category. Yeah. I love it. Yeah, because you don't have to be drunk. Like, there's people that just shouldn't be wearing the shoes mm-hmm. and they're trying to, like, strut their stuff, and you do feel bad for them.
And they're usually in situations they shouldn't have high heels.
Yeah, like, what are you doing at the stadium?
A zoom in, though, I'm worried their ankle's going to break. I can't watch.
Or, like, even at a fashion show, you see those fails where they're just, like, wiggling, and then they just go down, and, like, it's cringeworthy, but it's kind of funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got my number one is the number one, undisputed, when there is one of those people with the bulls, with the red flag stabbing the bulls, then the bull gets them.
Oh, I love that.
The bull gets them.
Yeah, we're rooting for the bull.
No, they're seriously injured.
No,
yeah, but they're killing an animal.
I don't want either. I don't want it happening at all.
I agree.
No, I'm team bull. You're just stabbing that. It's
even
like
if I'm
drugged
team bull,
up.
I don't need to watch.
No, that is not. No, I'm team bull.
It's not nice, yeah.
Give me the bull winning.
And are we doing serpentine?
Sure.
Okay,
absolutely.
Well, I only have like one more, so better not get taken.
Okay, I'm going to go with my one, too. Can never get enough of this. It has changed my complete outlook on life. Rope swings into water.
Ooh.
Rope swings into water? You will never. They chicken out in the middle of it, and then they come back and you're like, lady, man, you came from a rock. Where do you think you're going back to? You're going back into a rock. And then people always think they have like such high arm, like good arm muscles that they can hang on. It's like, you can't do this. You're not Arnold Schwarzenegger. You're going to slip right off this rope.
Mm-hmm. Or they let go too soon and they just like hit the beach.
Yeah, yeah. Like, rope swings are maybe the most dangerous thing in the world.
Yeah. Not good.
But you cannot imagine how many people think they could just easily make it back. You're never, PSA, you are never making it back to where you came from on a rope swing.
No.
That would happen.
Unless
to
you're
me.
Donkey Kong.
Yeah. Now you're going to let go.
I'm a chicken out.
I just saved your life. You're welcome.
Jess?
Okay, so I love a good, there's way too many people on this dock and it just capsizes and the whole
Oh my god! That's terrible!
That's a good one.
It's so good. The massive scream, everyone's like, ah! All at once they go into, I love it. I love it so much.
So I think it's funny when like children inadvertently hurt their parents and they're like playing like baseball or something and the ball gets hit, maybe not in the best spot. Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's good because you know you should know better.
Totally.
As a parent. Like they're always underestimating the kid, then they just crack a line drive.
Right to the face.
Yeah.
I really don't have one after this because you won't let me use ingrown toenail removal. I don't hate slipping on ice. Again, I need to know that the person's going to be okay, but I love the video of those annoying Bostonians.
The runners?
Yeah. Yes. Just talking about the traction. Like, that brings joy to my heart. Or second only to Jess Bud slipping on the ice 2 years ago outside of our building.
It's only 1 year ago.
It's still hurts. Actually, but I really don't like it. Like, it makes me sad, but I just had to bring it up.
Thank you very much. For those that don't know, I fell and then it was so icy that my coffee cup just like went into the road and I had to go get it and then try and make my way back up an incline. It was terrible.
Yeah, terrible. I hate injuries. I can't think of anything else.
My butt hurt for like a week.
Maybe like sometimes it's fun actually.
Can you clip that tables? Thanks. Right. What do you got?
Last season on The Real Housewives in New Jersey, there's this scene where the men were like waxing each other's backs and they were like, that was funny.
Oh. They got injured doing this?
Yeah, it hurts.
That's not an injury.
Okay, well, that's my list. Okay. I was going to lose anyway. So.
All right, tables, what do you got?
All right, so I think it's hilarious when somebody is, I don't know if they're intoxicated or just being stupid, but they're like on a roof and they're either jumping onto a trampoline or a pool. And it doesn't go as planned.
Yeah. Either the trampoline breaks.
Yeah. It could die.
I don't like ones with concrete.
Off the roof, so.
Oh, yeah. No.
You don't like them?
Not with concrete. I like grass. We got those like blow up pools and they try to jump in and they miss and it all collapses. Water goes everywhere. People fall out.
It's mainly like trampolines where they like jump off and their knees like give in and or they get like double bounced and go like flying off the trampoline.
I don't like the scorpion where your legs go over.
No, that's too much. Yeah.
You can hear that. Can I do an animal one?
Sure.
I love, it's mainly cats that do this. It's a lot of cat videos where they like think they can jump across a gap and they just way fall short. Just okay. Out of view. Super cute.
Okay, I'm going to do another animal one. This is where there's jerks at like a zoo. Usually it's like a foreign view, like a zoo, not something in the U.S. where somebody's like pestering a lion or an orangutan or something like that. And then all of a sudden the animal gets him.
Yeah.
Like I like that part. Sometimes there's like some gnarly injuries, but like you are just messing with it. What do you think? Yeah. This lion? You think just because there's a cage there, you can stick your hand in a lion's? Mm-mm. Like, no, that you're not getting that hand out of there.
No.
I'm team lion, but I don't want to watch it.
Man, there's so many good ones left.
So many good ones.
I might go with, this is very specific. It's an offshoot of Shep's, but people falling off of a bar. People falling off of a bar.
Like a stool?
No, like up on.
They're dancing on the bar?
They're probably intoxicated. Yeah. They're dancing on the bar. If you're at that level where you're dancing in a bar, you should not look for elevated ground. You know what I mean? But they always do.
That's me.
It always ends poorly.
I'm really into kids flying off of sleds.
No!
Like they get a jump and they just go.
No.
They're in these huge padded snowsuits. They're fine.
That's on my
list. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sorry. It's good. That's on my yes list.
This is another offshoot of Greg and Shep's, but when somebody is very, very drunk and they're like defying gravity for like 30 seconds and then they finally go down, it's just like a ride of when is this person going down? And a lot of times they don't for a while. And then when they finally go down, it's a relief and pretty funny.
Only my daughter, and when I know she's okay, but she enjoys like getting dizzy and then falling over.
Dizzy bats.
And she has this look really on her face like she's being so mischievous, and then she like finds out. It's terrible but funny.
Yeah, it's also good when they do the dizzy bat and it's like a pinata and somebody's like holding it on a stick and the kid is so all around they just hit the parent, you know, with like a stick.
That's like a combo of both.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's good. Do you want to save the ones we hate for next week?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We could do that.
Cool. So next week, part two, our least favorite injury videos.
Okay. Tune in and we will see you next week.
Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially marketing o'clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it live.